is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
9 o'clock on the dot, right here on ESPN 97.5. 1 hour from now, we'll play Beat the Limo Guy. But how about us? How about that? Suck on that, AJ. We hit our break and got out right at the top of the hour. I don't see your show doing that, you drunks in the afternoon. Are you going to...
Drunks in the afternoon?
Yeah. Then what do they do? They have happy hour.
They're your teammates.
I like to call them
jealous. If you were here, you'd be throwing down... Although, they make you take shots of stuff and drink this. And
I know.
Chug this.
If we did shots of Coors Light, then I'm in.
Shots of a beer.
You
mean shotgun in it?
Dell, are you going to join the happy hour at any point?
No. Not a chance.
Just
no. And it's less about the drinking. It's more about the company.
Oh, you don't like those people?
I mean, I don't like most people, and they fall in the category of not being liked. It's not a dislike. I just don't like them.
Yeah.
I mean, Trey's cool. If there was like three other Treys, that'd be cool, but
I love Trey.
It's not just Trey. It's those other people.
Trey, I listen to his picks every Friday.
Uh-huh. He makes picks?
He makes picks on Josh's show, and he's terrible. He's like 18 and 30.
Well...
So, in other words...
He's better than Justin.
Yeah, but in other words, you always fade... It's called fade Trey.
Fade Justin, fade Trey.
Whatever he picked, you go the other way, and you're making money.
If you combine his picks with Justin's, you got a real shot.
Yeah, he was 0-5 last week.
Well, so was Justin.
So was Justin.
So, I'm telling you, fade them both.
You could go 10-0.
Fade them both.
Fade both of them, and you go 10-0.
Beat the Trey?
Fade Trey.
Is that what all... That's
what it's called now. Fade the Trey. And he will be producing Josh's show today, so you can look forward to that.
Yeah, Nick is out for the day.
Yeah, Nick's out. Nick's out all day long. So and Nick doesn't take off. Nick's not.
No, he's not
anti Charlie.
He didn't learn from Charlie.
He's the anti Charlie. He loves to be. He doesn't like to miss his show. Even when during the pandemic, he came in early. Right.
There are times when we were doing the every other day for producers or every 3 or 4 shifts, depending on how it broke down. Nick would sometimes come in and do his show on days he wasn't scheduled. And I was like, go right ahead. I'll go home. Thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Do your show and I'll go home.
Do the show on days he wasn't scheduled.
Yeah.
What kind of lunatic is he?
Because he loves to be on the air.
And eventually, I guess they made a point like, I don't know how it was justified, but they said, Nick, maybe just do the days we schedule you to do. Don't come in more. This is something we planned for a reason. Initially he was like, no, I'll come in and do the show.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Sweet. Yeah. Let's go.
I mean, he's a hard worker. He's a hard worker.
Yeah. Except today, lazy.
Yeah. Who's working for Nick today?
Yeah. Trey's the one.
Oh, I'm working for Nick today, too.
Oh, my God.
I'm doing the press box.
Wait, is it another Charlie day off?
That's a Charlie and Nick day off. I think Joel has someone coming in. But, yeah, Charlie just takes all Fridays off. So now I'm working the press box every Friday, it seems like.
It's good to be Charlie. 903-ESPN, 975-713-780-3776 if you want. Not one call today.
By the way, you know who I met yesterday?
POSs.
For the first time, who I met was Vanessa Richardson.
Hudgens?
No. Richardson, who had the interview with Jeff Leno.
Oh.
Yeah, I met her yesterday and didn't recognize her. She was working out at Danny's at Plex when I went and got my physical therapy. But we had a good talk about, you know, I asked her all the questions. She goes, he did not get the questions.
Beforehand?
He did not get the questions in advance. She said, you know, I hustled this. She told me kind of how she got the interview, that it had to do with race car driving, and he's a big fan, and this, that, and the other. She's from Terre Haute, Indiana. She's from Indiana, covered the Indy 500, covered the Colts. She went to college there, and she's covered Combine. She's covered Final Fours, things like that. She's really sharp. It was good getting to talk to her and find out about, like, how she made it to this market, her thoughts on this market, the Leno interview. And I said, look, I said, I get it. There's certain questions and there's certain things. She goes, I can't pound the table. She said, I can't sit and pound the table for this, that, and the other thing. And I said, no, I get it. I mean, the bottom line is I did get information. I said, me and my radio host talked about it because we got information that we didn't previously have. I said, the key for you is, can you get something that people don't have? And I even told her, I said, for Jeff Leno to make the strong, strong comments he did, at any point, if Jeff is flat out lying, MLB can put him in check. They can say, bitch, do we have to bring out this document on you?
Ooh, man, that's what they go start with a B?
I didn't know, but that's what they could do. And they would do it through leaking to their to major league writers, you know, because, of course, the Jeff Passons and the Buster Olneys or whatever, they would have no problems doing a hit piece on Jeff Leno that shows that he was lying about his interview. They would have no problem. But did you notice none of that came out? And I even told her, I said, that was something that's really interesting because no one has checked what Jeff, no one has put a check on anything. When I say checked, I mean no one has countered anything that Jeff Leno said. Nobody in a position of authority. Nobody. He went out and said that, then filed a lawsuit. So, that was an important interview in terms of, I think, just for public opinion of Jeff Leno. Mm-hmm. I know for me, it made me kind of rethink. I'm like, maybe.
No, I think he's.
Maybe he did. Dude, I mean, it seems crazy to believe that he didn't know, but there is a different culture between front office and player. Like, that's not always necessarily linked where the front office knows everything players are doing. They've got their own thing that they do, too. I mean, he could have known. But it's not a guarantee that a GM knows everything that's going on.
Do you believe Jim Crane knew?
No, now that I believe he did not. Okay. Jim lost his bleep.
Do you know where Jim sits?
Yeah. When he's there, yeah.
When he's there, right behind home plate.
Yeah.
You know where Luno sits?
Jeff sits a little further over.
In the press box, right next to the press box. That's the general manager's. Well,
but he sits up.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Crane is right next to the trash can, and Luno is sitting next to the press box.
Right.
Yet Luno knew, but Crane didn't.
Well, Luno could, but Luno is talking to his manager on a daily basis. Yeah. I'm not saying because he could hear stuff. I'm not saying physically knew or didn't. I would assume he would know because he's talking to a manager. Hey, we got a real problem. You know, like the AJ, once he freaked out, hey, I got to tell you about something that's going on. We got a real problem. I don't know how to handle this. Our players do. Like, that's not that's not unreasonable to think
no,
that could
happen. No, but do you notice AJ never said he talked to Luno about it. Yeah. And AJ has admitted everything. He's never said he talked to Luno about it.
Could be Omerta.
It could be. Or it could be he never talked to Luno about it.
Could be.
Yeah.
But, man, when your job is on the line with your GM for something like that, man, that's a scary thing. If you get caught in 17, he could have gotten whacked.
Or maybe he was keeping it from Luno because he knew he would get in trouble.
Well, you could say, yeah, or you could say, no, I don't think Luno. Look, Luno can say whatever he wants. In my heart, I believe Luno is about that W. They were already searching for ways. He already had the code breaker thing. And not that it was illegal.
It's not illegal.
It's not illegal, but the point is they're looking for ways to be successful. I think Jeff Leno was about that action. And if he thought they had an advantage that wasn't being detected, I just think his competitive nature, he wouldn't be the first guy that says, hey, I'm going to let it roll.
If you don't think in this lawsuit that AJ Hinch is going to be deposed, if you don't think that all those guys are going to be deposed to say, because Crane has got to prove that Leno knew.
You think Crane will get deposed?
Absolutely, Crane will be deposed.
What's Crane going to? Yeah, I'm sure he will just because of his position. What's he going to know?
Not what he knows. He's going to say, why did you fire him? That's what he's going to be deposed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for that. Yeah, I guess you have to.
And if you think AJ's not going to be deposed.
Oh, listen, and if they said Major League Baseball said that I'd get a special hookup. Ooh, case closed.
Yes. All that. 909 ESPN 97.5. It'll be interesting. I think Luno is going to win. We'll see. Because you don't file this if you know if he knows he talked to AJ about this or to any of the players or to anyone who was responsible, if he had any axe in this, those people are all going to be deposed in this deal. And guess what? He knows. And he said he's got a binder full of evidence that he did.
That man said he has receipts.
He does have receipts.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. some interesting stuff going on. Dell, Liberty at North Carolina State this week.
Is it being played? It's always a coin flipper now.
Yes.
Yes, that game
so
is
that
on.
Game is going to be played.
Yes.
Is there anything recently that got canceled? Didn't they have one canceled overnight?
I think.
I don't know.
Was so that old?
I'd have to look.
Well, I'm looking at the Yard Barker. It's so funny. Yard Barker is doing a breakdown in our predictions. Every single game. They had last night, they had Tulsa minus 6.5. Loser. Every single game. Clemson minus 35.5. Florida minus 31.5. BYU minus 48. They took the favorite in every single game, except one. They took Liberty plus 3.5.
Well, Liberty's the public team in that one.
Everyone's, now it is, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're good.
They're good. But can they do it again?
They've beaten Virginia Tech, who's not very good. Who else did they beat in the ACC? Syracuse, who isn't good. This will be the best ACC team they've played. Now, NC State's on their backup quarterback, but he's actually played well the last couple weeks. And Liberty probably won't be doing much stopping of the run, and North Carolina State will try to run the football. I think I would be more concerned about the over than I would be the number. Do they have the number?
They don't have, I mean, I can get that, but they don't have that.
Yeah, I would look at the over and take it. I don't think there's going to be much stopping of anyone in that game.
Over.
If I was looking for one, I would stay away from the line itself, because man, Liberty. And this is their last, I think, the last major opponent. Unless they have, maybe they have Coastal Carolina on the schedule.
Ooh, Coastal Carolina. Ooh,
that's
legit.
Really good.
Yeah, so they have a couple.
What are we talking? Man.
Coastal Carolina.
Liberty and Coastal Carolina is
what a game.
Pretty much can't miss football. In 2020, that's a damn good matchup.
Well, yeah. No. Can't wait for Tulsa and Cincinnati.
And Tulsa barely avoided ruining that matchup.
Just got through Tulane. Yeah. A double overtime game. What do you think the under-over on Liberty is?
68.
66.5.
Yeah, I might take the over in that one.
Do you think that's just going to be a track meet?
Yeah, I think they'll both be able to move the ball, and I think North Carolina will have an easier time because I think they're going to be able to run the ball on Liberty. But Liberty has a nice quarterback, Willis, who was a transfer from Auburn. He's pretty good. He could be playing at a higher level, at least a Power 5 conference, at least.
Jeff Van Gundy's already offered the two spots up, and the guys jumped on it. So,
That'll
be fun. Yeah, Jeff Van Gundy, he's going to be with us. He's going to join us early on December 3rd, Thursday, December 3rd, out at Wildcat Golf Club.
What if you're playing with Pat Ewing and Tom Thibodeau?
That'd be totally sweet. Wouldn't that be great?
What if you're playing with Bob Huggins and Bob Knight?
Even sweeter.
Would it?
Yeah.
Sweet to play with Bob
every
Knight?
Every time they hit a bad shot? You kidding me? The club?
Move the cart! Like he's screaming at you. Yeah. Sorry, Mr. Knight.
Yeah. No, he's got such a nice
disposition.
Do you
still call him coach at this point?
What if it's, okay.
Knight.
Call him, you know who he's actually buddy with?
Call him Knight.
Now, hold on a second. This could be an interesting foursome that we have to hear about. You know who else he's really tight with? Oh. I don't know about really tight, but he likes and he lives close to.
Kay Adams?
No.
You don't know
that. Anya Taylor-Joy? Which one?
No, Bill O'Brien.
Oh.
Oh. I don't want to play that one.
You don't want to play that one?
I don't want to play that one.
I don't either.
I don't want to play that one. 8-9-13 ESPN 97.5. Hey.
Right around the corner from each other. And he likes Billy.
He does like Bill. Mm-hmm. Well, he loves all coaches. If you're a coach,
he loves coaches. Let me tell you something.
No coach ever got
fired. He needs
fired.
To start a charity called Coaches for Coaches.
For any coach that gets fired.
Buyouts for
there's
coaches.
There's never
buyouts
been
for coaches.
Justification for a coach to get fired, according to Coach Van Gundy.
I mean, you look at what they gave Hugh Jackson, and it's criminal.
Rich Kotite?
He was 1-30. He was 1-31, but the guy had nothing. Like, yeah, but he did lose 31, coach. Like, it's hard to get away from that 1-31
mark.
Did
you see that roster?
Yeah.
Why are we always going to blame it on the coach?
Well, what's the jingle going to be?
Save that repair.
Coaches for coaches.
Buyouts for coaches. Buyouts for coaches.
Coaches for coaches. Coaches for coaches.
Yeah. He loves him a coach.
Hey, he sure does. You know what? I love Champion Energy. How about this? We got the new place, and the thermostats didn't don't work. And I'm like, what the hell? They went out. I'm like, what? So I got indoor comfort specialist coming out today, as a matter of fact, to the house. But that's neither here nor there. I'm thinking, I had no idea how much I used that air. We got it at 68 every night. It was like impossible to sleep last night. And it wasn't even that hot. It was impossible. So you got to use your air conditioning.
You're going to catch pneumonia.
I know, right? I'm with no air?
You're going to catch pneumonia at 68 every night.
Oh, that's perfect. So here's the deal is if you're looking for, I mean, I don't know, if you're like us and it's got to be cold for you to sleep, you always, always, always got to have your air. And it doesn't matter if it's winter, summer, or whatever. You're spending more with other electricity companies. Spend it with ours. And save money every single month. That's champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. And wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
On this date in 2012, Jack Taylor. You know what he did? Anybody remember Jack Taylor?
Jack Taylor. That doesn't sound familiar.
All right, another hint. Grinnell College.
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't Grinnell the ones who got their faces kicked in by Georgia Tech?
No.
Like 100-3?
That was Cumberland.
It was Cumberland College.
No.
No, but Grinnell's famous for something.
Yeah, it's just the opposite. A Midwest Conference where I played, by the way.
Right. What happened?
Jack scored 138 points.
In basketball?
In basketball. He was 27 of 71 from three. And
oh, wait a minute. This isn't years and years ago.
No, 2012.
That's 2012. 27 of 70.
71.
For 70.
That's 38%. That's not, I mean, it's not crazy.
For college, it's not good. You need to be over 40.
52 of 108 from the field.
As a team?
No, him. He was 52
of 108. Hold on a second. He took 108 shots by himself?
By himself. Yeah.
And
he, he held up like the Will Chamberlain held up the 100. He held up 138.
If I was playing on a team, I'd just be like.
Somebody, the comments. Hey, Jack, I'm open.
No. Everyone playing on a team is just standing there.
Well, like, no, I think they want.
Why you guys have such a bad attitude? Don't even get.
Yeah, Jack, but once you're at halftime.
Jack took 108 shots.
What you're at halftime?
Coach, he took 108 shots
and
in a game, not a year.
But he's got 60 at the half. Don't you go, let's get him the record. No, I want to be part of that. I played with Jack Taylor. I didn't touch the ball.
Here's what I'm going to need you to do. I'm going to need you to play a lot of defense because Jack's going to be tired and probably doing some cherry picking on the other end. You guard your man and Jack's man. And then get the rebound and then get it up the court to Jack as fast as you can. No need to even cross half court. Well, we want some people over there to set some picks. No, I'm not happy.
Is James Harden looking at that going,
oh, he's so.
I wish I was Jack Taylor.
So jealous. What if you're a basketball player and your girlfriend's like, will you introduce me to Jack Taylor? He scored 138. And you'd be like, he took 108 shots, highly inefficient. and he shot below 40%, which is not good for college.
He scored more than he shot, so that's not bad.
For college, he is not. Did he get to the free throw line?
He must have.
I have no respect for that. It's like LaMelo Ball with his layups.
No respect for that.
And no respect for 138.
Well, when you shoot 27 extra points, he made 102 baskets.
John, it's a 40-minute game. How in the hell?
That's 129. He didn't get to the line all that much.
You have to get, think about this now. You have to get up over 2.5 shots a minute.
108 shots.
A minute.
Yeah.
How's that possible? Long rebounds back to you? Like, how do you get over? If you get two shots up a minute, you're at 80 shots.
Well, the other team must have couldn't get past.
Well, no, they had what they or either that or they were
just
the other.
Score.
Now the other team was either atrocious and they kept getting it stolen, or they played exactly the way Grinnell did.
Yeah,
what was the final score?
No one knows that. No one.
People
cares.
Know that.
Romeo Crennel says they'll know more about Laramie Tunsil today about how he's feeling. He hasn't practiced this week due to illness. Brian Anger hasn't practiced this week, but is still hopeful. He's got a quad. Why did I check the Texans again? I forget.
Undying love for your team?
I do. But they didn't buy me a pizza.
Yeah, but your love runs deep.
It does run deep. Romeo Crennel and Anthony Weaver's passionate defense. Passionate defense of the defense. My message to him is to keep doing his job. He's a passionate guy, a very fine coach. He gets the most out of his guys, and I want him to keep doing that. Now, wait a minute. Hold on here a second. Is Romeo saying that Anthony Weaver is getting the most out of his guys? Is that what he said? The second to worst defense can get out of him?
I get that that's a shot at Bill O'Brien and building this roster, but it doesn't really resonate anymore. We already know that. That's a given. Now you got to get a little bit more, like, no one's buying into. Well, look, we know he doesn't have a lot of talent. It's got to be a little better than this. Of course, if I'm Anthony Weaver, I'm like, oh, you mean like 16 last week? You're welcome.
Or was it
10?
10. Oh, that's right. 10.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, like we held him to 10. Oh
my
sorry,
God.
Holding
it was blowing sideways.
Sorry that holding somebody to 10 is not enough.
He did you see his answer yesterday? How would you evaluate Justin Reed's season and how he's tackled so far? Also, he has talked about adding more pressure based on how he performs. Do you see him doing that? I'm sure some of the pressure comes from that. Anytime you put added pressure on yourself and not just going out there and playing loose, these things tend to happen. Very meticulous, cerebral player. So when he puts that pressure on himself, sometimes maybe you don't play as loose. He's admitting right here that Justin Reed is not playing well. And I don't, you know, a lot of coaches won't actually do that. But he's admitting that Justin Reed, listen, Romeo talked about it. Guys staying in their lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And thought it was just about JJ. It's not. Now, JJ, we know, goes out of his way to get tackles for loss and sacks and leaves his gap open. And, you know, because JJ's going to go and do that. He won 3 defensive MVPs doing that. But I'm pretty sure, you know, Zach Cunningham is playing better, but Zach Cunningham was doing the same damn thing. Zach Cunningham wasn't filling the gaps the way he was supposed to fill the gaps, and they were running off big plays against him. Justin Reed is the same way. Justin Reed is blowing a running pass, taking terrible angles. He took another terrible angle against Nick Chubb and got worked to the sideline.
Oh, STFU, chump or what?
Punk. No. Asinine punk.
Asinine punk.
Right.
Was it punk?
Punk. Asinine punk. That's what Rivers McCown name is now. Asinine punk.
But it'd also be STFU, asinine punk John Granato.
Right. Because
you just said the same thing.
No,
he took a bad angle.
Well,
how do you fight that? How do you argue that? It was clearly a bad angle.
Well, he juked him too, and Justin Reed stopped and then kind of fell down. So it wasn't a Phillip Rivers thing, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah, but
when all you had
he's
was,
not a 30,
all you had to cover was like 3 feet till the sideline.
Phillip Rivers is like a 38-year-old quarterback.
White
too.
Guy.
You would say that, you asinine punk.
Yeah.
You would.
That's what you would say.
You would say, because only an asinine punk would just look at it that way.
Well, you only had like 3 feet to the sideline. You know, I know a lot of people that use that as a defender, the sideline.
Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be.
Well, you don't understand.
You leverage them against the sideline.
Look, I
some people do.
I saw Justin Reed's response, and I'm just going to respond the same way because you don't understand. Asinine punk.
That's you, Lance.
Yeah.
He's talking to you.
Me?
Yeah, you didn't know that's how Justin Reed responds to critics?
Yeah.
He calls them asinine punks on Twitter.
I didn't know that everybody got that. Well, I didn't criticize him on Twitter.
Well, if you did,
I probably have.
I really have to change my pick now.
So get off the Texans.
Yeah, I don't know why I picked.
You know what's funny is every time we talk about the Texans, I always do the same thing too. Like, this is a game they can win, and I'm just
they're
and
bad.
And then I start talking about what they do well and what they don't do well, and then you realize, hey,
what am I doing here?
Why am I on this side? Like,
what are they?
They've covered. Once?
Have you accepted?
Twice.
Have you two accepted?
That's what I was just going to ask.
They're one of the worst football teams in the league. Have you accepted that?
No.
You haven't accepted that, right?
No, I have not.
That's what I feel like. Because
I don't think I have. I think they're in a lower level. I think they're in a lower level, but I don't think. Clearly, if I think they're going to win a lot of these games, I haven't accepted it.
They've got a shot to win 4 or 5 games this year. That's an awful football team. So that's why you're operating like, well, they could win here or they should win here. They're an awful football team. You can't take anything for granted.
So you're counting the Cleveland as a cover, right?
What was the number?
It was 3 actually to start. It's a push in a lot of places, but it ended up 3.5 at game time. So I guess that's a win because it's 3.5. They covered against them and they covered against Jacksonville, right? 30-14.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two covers, right? It was Tennessee. They lost 42-36. No, that wasn't a cover. That was the overtime game. They didn't cover against Minnesota. They didn't cover against Pittsburgh. They didn't cover against Baltimore, Kansas City. They're 2-7 against the spread, too. And one of them was a push. I added a 3.
You mean last week?
Yeah.
It was, I feel like it was almost a miracle 3. The other one, they got a miracle cover against, what was the game before?
No, Jacksonville, they won 30-14. So that one was a cover. That was an easy cover.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
And they beat Jacksonville 27-25, but they didn't cover that game.
Let me look at NFL.
Right? They were a bigger favorite than 2.
Standings.
So. Yeah.
Where's the ATS standing? So the Houston Texans ATS are, 2-7.
2-7.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty pitiful.
The best team against the point spread right now, can you guess?
The best team against the point spread. We'll do it on the other side.
There are two teams that are the best teams against
the point spread. 929. We'll do it again on the other side. Gulf Coast Chevy is what we're talking about now.
The best team for my dollar is going to be Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Saw Craig DeSurf yesterday. We did some commercials. Mostly it was about thanking you guys for your business and for, thanking us as a radio station for helping him. He was a guy who stayed with us through the pandemic, through the earlier stages where it was really, really, really tough. We're losing advertisers. And this guy said, I want to keep on advertising, supporting the station. And you know what? He ended up having a lot of sales. They had a tremendous, one of their best months ever, if not best month ever, happened during pandemic. And I thought that's crazy. But, car buying is something that has to happen. I mean, it's people need cars at different times when their cars shut down or when their lease is over, whatever the case may be. And they want you to know that whether you're looking for a pickup truck on the GMC side like the Sierra or Chevy Silverado, or maybe you need a Buick Encore or Enclave, maybe you want to get the Yukon, the GMC Yukon, or a Chevy Traverse. No matter what it is that you're looking for, the odds are they're going to have a vehicle there that suits you, that fits you, and that you love. The only way you're going to find out is if you go down to Angleton, or the best way is to go online. Go to LanceZCars.com, see their entire inventory that they have in stock. And right now, they've got some really good programs for you to take advantage of. So when you are ready to buy, and you can do a lot of the car buying online, if not all of it, through the chat function, you can head down there and finish it off in Angleton if you like. It's my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Make sure you go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 7378-0377. Screw you, Bob, in Houston. I said, I retweeted John Clay Wolf. He got 10 differences. It's a puzzle. I mean, you know, one of those 10 differences things. And he says, I miss when John Granato was relevant. What? Hey, right out of nowhere, I take a shot from Bob. Bob in Houston. A-hole.
He still follows you, but
took that shot? I didn't say anything. I don't care.
No, I mean, he follows you, right? So that's how he saw the tweet.
Yeah, right.
And then he responded that way.
Or no, maybe he's following. Is he following me? I don't know. I don't care. I mean, I see a lot of... Somebody doesn't like me. Okay. All right. Like, that doesn't happen every day.
Queue up.
With
queue
my
up.
Friends. My friends don't like me.
Well, that's queue not, up.
Well, that's I don't
mostly
like
during
you, so I get it.
Your sober time.
How about Taysom Hill is starting?
Over Jameis? I don't really... Jameis is... You don't think Jameis is going to play? Taysom is starting. Yeah. I think that is just to make... The other team prepare for Taysom as a starter.
Yeah.
Because now you have to prepare for all the zone read stuff. And then Jameis' offense is totally different. Very smart to say it out loud. Because if you want to keep it a secret, you wouldn't. You just say, you know, we're up in the air. We don't know. Instead, that's out there. You know why it's out there? Because now the other team has to prepare for two totally different
quarterbacks. Well, and it's the same with the Panthers. P.J. Walker and Will Greer are both getting
And that's what they're saying.
Reps.
They're splitting reps. It's out there. Who's going to go? We don't know. One guy's a pocket passer. Mm-hmm. One guy's much more mobile. You force them to prepare for both of them.
I'm listening to the show before ours, and they did a whole like hour on why are the Colts favored over the Packers. And it's gone down from 2 to 1.5. But
that seems like a pretty legitimate number.
Yeah. I
What was their problem?
I picked the Colts.
The Colts can get after the quarterback,
yeah. And that's
and
what
Aaron Rodgers struggles when he's been pressured.
Yeah, and Davante Adams is hurt. He might not play.
Yeah, why were they
this
struggling
crazy.
With this?
Now Alan Lazard is back, and the Packers defense blows.
Packers defense struggles in the secondary.
Especially
you just don't know if But Phillip Rivers,
no,
for all his issues,
the run too.
You can throw it. Yeah, actually, they have had their
They're
issues.
Not good.
I mean, if anything, I think the Colts maybe are a decent value at about 1.5.
Yeah.
Get them to 1 and give you a 3 as a winner, 2 as a winner, and 1 as a push. If you get it from 1.5 down to 1, Colts are a value there, I think. Colts, a small value.
I think. Well,
3, I'll take Packers. 1, I'll take Colts.
Just 2 weeks ago, Phillip Rivers was going to get benched.
No, he wasn't.
No.
Phillip Rivers was never going to get benched.
No, well,
benched for who? Jacoby Brissett?
Said that. Jay Will said thought so.
So you have to believe him.
Yeah. No, sticking with that's not going
to
happen.
Sticking with what we went to going into the break, who leads the against the spread stuff?
Oh.
Wins, losses.
Well, let me say this one first. The top three teams in point differential, which a lot of people love that one. I like to take...
The Chiefs are head and shoulders.
I like
everybody.
To take your best as the season moves on. Your best two games and your worst two games, eliminate them, and then use. I use median but eliminating top two, bottom two, top three, bottom three, whatever the case may be, and then averaging out. Some people will go to mean, which is the exact middle, and that's not a bad way to handicap either, but. Here's what surprised me. Number one in point differential
is the Chiefs.
Is by 3 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. Steelers are 100 better. The Chiefs are 103.
Well, you're talking about eliminating the your top.
Well, this is just I'm just taking points for minus points against.
Oh, okay.
Point differential. The Chiefs are 103 points better than what they allow. The Steelers are 100 points better. Third, and this is how quickly it can flip. At 69 point difference is Miami, 251 points for
the Ravens
182 against.
The Ravens are third. They're at plus 79.
Oh, yeah.
Miami
I miss
is
that.
After them, I believe.
And.
Yep, you're right. Ravens
I mean,
are,
Ravens and it, can people be more down on the Ravens right now?
No, because expectations are, you
right.
know, Lamar doesn't look like last year. The Ravens don't feel like the last year team.
They really don't. I mean, yeah. All that is true.
You know, against the number, they're 4-5. All that is true. So they're performing below expectations. They're 4-5 as a team. It may be about time to start fading the Dolphins, because at some point there's always the line makers catch up with the team, and there is that old homeostasis where things start to head back to the middle. Miami right now at 7-2 against a point spread, and Pittsburgh at 7-2. You might start to find values on the other side. But the flip side of that coin is, you know, would you say the Texans and Cowboys, 2-7 for the Texans against point spread, 1-8 for the Cowboys, do you think they, a lot of times bad teams will just stay bad. You just get great value. Everyone knows the Jets stink, right? And the Jets aren't a good team, and yet they're still 2-7 against the number. Even though you think they're terrible.
Recently, these last couple of games, they played well against the Bills.
Yeah.
And
which I actually had that. I mean, that to me, no, it wasn't the Bills. It was the other one that they should have won. Was it the Patriots? They should have won, because bad teams should not be laying almost a touchdown on the road. Right. That's terrible.
No.
So that's just kind of, that's the way it goes. But yeah, it's always interesting to look at point spreads, because point spreads, they're not designed to necessarily do this, but it is a pretty good measure of if you're playing above or below your expected level. It really is.
And the
Minnesota Vikings are 6-3 against the spread. They're actually playing better now than I expected, although I would tell you 4-5 is not really better than expected, but some of their losses were really heartbreaking losses.
No, early on, yes.
The Bucks are 5-5.
5-5. They're plus 70.
They're playing
their point difference.
Yeah, they're playing about to. But
either
that just goes to show you.
Or they.
Yeah, that's been true. And Tom Brady, you know, you're forced to eat a lot of extra points with Tom Brady being quarterback because of the general public.
That's true.
Aaron Rodgers 6-3, Packers 7-2. That feels right.
Yep.
They played good football. They really have. The surprising thing are the Giants. They're 3-7 straight up, but they're 7-3 against the point spread. They're one of the best teams in the league against
That's why I like them against the spread, is because almost every game, all but two, I think, are within one score, are decided within one score. And they're a 3-7 team, so you're getting a lot of points.
The Bengals, 6-3. Makes sense. Worst team in football last year, much more competitive this year. They're 2-6, 2-6-1, but they're 6-3 against this point spread. Similarly, Cleveland, who is 6-3, they're 3-6 against the point spread. I would tell you the expectations have been so high for Cleveland, definitely over the last 2 years, they've got to be one of the worst spread teams, them and the Eagles, that you can possibly.
Oh, the Eagles got to be terrible. What are the Eagles against the spread?
Oh, they are terrible. Let me see. The Eagles, that whole division, they're 3-6. Giants 7-3, Washington 4-5, Dallas 1-8. They're 3-5 for the season, 3-6 against point spread.
Well, that's only because they're just pitiful. Because
they are pitiful.
They've been getting a lot of points lately.
Doug Peterson at some point is going to catch a hot seat.
No, he's got to. He's got to. I mean, this is a Gene Chizik situation he's in. You win a Super Bowl and you're going to get fired. You win a national championship.
Now, that Super Bowl is a little ways back now.
It's only 3 years.
What was
ago.
It? The 2017 season they won it in 2018. Was it?
Yeah.
Well, we're three seasons in, and that's Philadelphia, and Carson Wentz is clearly regressing.
Says you.
Says every measure of regression.
Huh. Every stat, every single thing.
And there's nothing that doesn't say he is in a super regression right now.
Yeah. What's your play of the week? Mine's the Vikings.
I'll do it when we come back. I'm going to look at all the lines, and we'll go through some of these and give out some picks. But I'm going to find a good one.
I was over at Damaris yesterday, as a matter of fact, with Yanni. He was drinking wine or something. I don't know what's wrong with him.
Wow, interesting.
But here's the deal: I did ask him about the turkeys, and he said it's unbelievable. It's like ridiculous the number of turkeys these guys make because how good they are. And he's got a huge deal going on right now where you can package it up with the jalapeno corn and all of the green beans and all of his sides and the turkey and just all package it all up and you're done. You don't have to do a thing. And that's the way to go about this thing. You know, you spend all your time making the turkey and making all the sides and everything else. Get it from Damaris and let them do all the cooking for you. I'm telling you, it is delicious. You order now. Go to DEMERIS.com, Damaris.com, and see for yourself. It is, I'm telling you, I've never had a better turkey than their fried Cajun turkey. It is the best. It is the best. And we're getting ours again this year from them because that's what we do. And if you want all the sides and all the fixings as well, you can get that too. And if you're looking for a great place to go watch your games, he's got a great deal on wings during Houston Pro football games. So if you're looking for that, it's just a lot of fun. We watched the game there last week. Just great fun. Damaris, DEMERIS.com. It's on 18th Street and 610 or on Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. It's Damaris Barbecue.
SportsMapBets.com is live. Stay up to date with betting guides for this week's NFL and college football action, or check out SportsMapBets research tools and keep the lead in your fantasy league. SportsMapBets.com has all the info you need to make the best play. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here and hang out with us, you are more than welcome to do that. The top stories today, the Rockets are pretty much, I guess, giving up that James Harden is going to come back. I guess that is not going to happen, but they are going to make sure that they get the most they possibly can for him, which is a smart way to go about it.
Well, yes. Now, the question is, are they willing to make this a thing that goes into the year? If the Nets, which is apparently James, that's his choice, the Nets are not going to offer them anything that will blow them away. Are they willing to let the other teams battle out to up their offers and actually start playing games with no James or James there not being happy? That'll determine how willing they are to be uncomfortable, because we heard that early in the week. How uncomfortable are you actually willing to be with a
They're willing to be uncomfortable.
We'll see how uncomfortable
it gets if he doesn't even show up.
Yeah, it's easy to say now because you're posturing a little bit, trying to make sure you let the world know you're no pushover. But when it comes down to it, are you going to have these conversations and from reporters and go, where's James? Well, James isn't with us right now. We're just going to talk about the guys who are here. You want to have that conversation every day? We'll see. We'll see how uncomfortable they want to be.
Yeah, I think it'll get uncomfortable before this is all said and done, and it should get uncomfortable. You don't just, James doesn't want Dwight here.
Oh, guys, that's
James good. Doesn't want McHale here. James doesn't want Chris Paul here. James doesn't want, well, I don't give a rat's ass what James wants anymore.
James
don't want to be here. James don't want to, good. Well, that's fine. But so we don't have to placate James anymore. If James don't want to be here, then, well, screw James. Okay? That's the way I'd look at it. We did everything you asked of us. Everything.
When Kawhi was doing his thing in San Antonio at the end, and was Toronto a team? I don't think he expressed wanting to go to Toronto. Did he? I don't remember that being the case.
I don't know that was the case. They got a pretty good package.
Yeah.
Pirtle and
to me, with you. James isn't going to be part of this anymore, so you're looking out for the Rockets. You're not looking out for James. And you're not going to do something just to get a deal done. You have to be uncomfortable. We'll see if they really are willing to be uncomfortable. Because at the end of the day, James wants to play basketball. He really does. He doesn't take days off and load management. James likes the ball. So I think that because of that, James can want to play all he wants, but if the Rockets can't get an offer from the Nets, I mean, they're going to have to get creative to make this happen, because it probably is going to have to be a three-team deal. But I like what the Rockets say. Hey, we want a franchise cornerstone and then a bunch of picks. That's what we're looking for. So if you can make that happen, make it happen. If not, we'll roll with what we got. We're on the we're on the books for that for this money anyway. So we'll just play it. And we know people will like watching James. And if James sits out, it's not going to – I don't think it's going to help James's cause. If you're the Rockets, you just play hardball.
Well, it helped AD's cause. Now they're different situations because there's less time on AD's deal. But he was like, I ain't playing. And eventually
– But they got a good package.
They got – well, yeah.
I think they did.
And but they did trade him to the team he wanted to go to. The team that James wants to go to can't provide the type of players. They can provide the picks, but they can't provide the type of players.
Is Dinwiddie equal to Ingram?
No.
But see, it's Ball. Ball and Ingram were a good one.
And they threw in Josh Hart too.
Yep.
And there's some youth there, and you didn't have to. And those guys are under contracts. So they didn't cost a lot.
Dinwiddie, LeVert, and Allen.
I don't know who the Nets are willing to give up.
Well, Dinwiddie, LeVert, and Allen. Well, and picks.
Well, we say that, but we have to find out what the deal is. Yeah, but that's nice.
Well, it's got to hurt, otherwise you ain't getting it.
Well, yeah. So, but we remember the back and forth last time about will they give up Kuzma? Won't they give up Kuzma? And the Lakers, for whatever reason, stood steadfast and said, we're not giving up Kuzma.
Now look how they regret that.
Well, they got their guy anyway. I guess Ingram.
They'd have much rather had Ingram than.
Well, I think the Pelicans wanted all of them.
Well, they wanted all of them. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it wasn't one. So they held off and they had to give up more picks. So. The negotiation will be the thing. We'll see. Rafael Stone hasn't done this particular type of standoff before. We'll see what he's got.
Yeah.
The more I look at this, Dinwiddie doesn't shoot it great from three, but
they're a volume shooting team too.
You know what though? He had six, almost seven assists to 2.7 turnovers. If you could get LeVert, Dinwiddie, and find a way to weasel at least. See, I don't care about their ones. Their ones are going to suck. You need a third team.
No, but you get their 2025 one. That's not going to suck.
Yeah, that's fine, but you'd rather have a third team mixed in so you could get somebody else's one too. And if you have to push out another player, I don't know who you'd have to push out. Or maybe Russ is part of a deal and you take on, maybe a not great contract, but somebody, of course, Russ is a not great contract. So, I don't know what it's going to look like. But, I mean, the Nets, I don't know, Dell. You don't think the Nets, you even want to get more than Dinwiddie and Dinwiddie's 26, but you want to get more than Dinwiddie and LeVert.
Yeah.
But they are two instant starters, but you got to get those picks. Like, neither one of them are the franchise cornerstone guy. That the Rockets have talked about, but they would be valuable in a trade with another team a three team trade.
You would have the eyes on using them to go acquire a better player because the Rockets, according to the report, they want a young star. Those two, while young,
could I interest you in youngish, the Rudy Gobert stop. Young star?
Stop. like Caris LeVert will be 26, so he's clearly not old. Dinwiddie in that same age range. But when you think of the young star, you would think they're talking about an age range of a Tatum or a Simmons.
Yeah.
You're
thinking 24 and under.
An all-star. These two aren't all-stars.
No.
So we know the Nets package won't satisfy the Rockets' needs as far as what they've asked for. That's why I wouldn't even want to deal with the Nets. Go deal with someone else and send James to a place he doesn't want. Oh, well. I mean,
yeah, I'm not really caring if James.
Yeah, who
likes
cares? Him. Send him to Sacramento. Go get yourself Jaren Fox. But then
James could then sit out. But it's not. You know what? It's not your problem. Then you can't resend a trade because, he's not playing fair. The only thing that would resend a trade is an injury. Is not passing a physical.
Yeah, I mean, we know when the it was different guys, but when the Warriors traded Iguodala to the Grizzlies, he never showed up. The deal still went through. They tried to convince him to show up, and he never did. The first game he played was when the Grizzlies traded him to the Heat because he wanted no part of the Grizzlies. So the guy doesn't always have to show up, but whew, that would be rough for the Kings to trade away like De'Aaron Fox and James Harden never shows up for them.
Well, yeah, I guess you gotta.
Yeah.
Iguodala
never did, and he had multiple years on this deal, I think. At least, maybe only had one.
Yeah, but Iguodala, well, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I know, they're different guys, yeah. But they still traded away guys, right. And he never played a game for them.
So does James actually believe his career will be validated if he wins a ring in Brooklyn? He'll be looked at like Durant. He had to join the Warriors if he wrote.
Only a lesser version of Durant. Don't you feel like that's the case?
Well, they were already champions.
There's no other difference.
Right.
Well, no. The difference is James would be helping bring one.
Right.
Where they were already champions. I just feel like Kevin Durant is more, was more well liked around the NBA than James. General fans, media writers, people have talked. Kevin Durant. Clap, you know, my mom's a real MVP and all that stuff. There was good feelings about him until the Golden State and the burner stuff started coming out. I'm like, what the hell is it? This is Kate. Like, KD's Q rating was very high.
Yep. Until then. What else? Well, you got a pick.
My pick is under 49.5 Titans versus Ravens. I feel like the Titans were one of the first teams to kind of lay out the roadmap to how to slow down Lamar Jackson. I feel like the Ravens defensively are going to get after Tannehill. I think 49.5 is a lot in this one, although granted scores get into the 50s all the time, but I feel like this one is the Titans are not playing their best football. The Ravens are not playing their best football. I don't think this is what you look for in an over, so I'm going to go under 49.5.
Under 49.5 on the Ravens. I got the Vikings. Dell, what's your pick? Did you do your podcast?
Yeah, it's done.
What's your favorite pick this week?
I like Bedlam. I like the over and OU.
You like OU over?
I think OU is 7. They're favored by 7. I like the over
Spencer
in that one.
Spencer Sanders is just a mess.
That's kind of what I talked about.
He's a mess. I mean, it's just terrible. Put in anything.
They're wasting.
Gundy against OU is terrible.
And they're wasting a good defense.
Yeah, they really are. All right, 956.
Well,
Lance.
Potentially. They only have
so y'all like Oklahoma?
I like Oklahoma in the over.
I don't like. No, I'm not taking.
What's
Oklahoma.
The number?
7.
I don't like Oklahoma, but I just can't trust Gundy against OU. I just can't.
Has he ever beaten him?
Twice.
Oh,
twice.
Yeah, he has. I remember.
He had the black man.
He's been
2-11?
There a while.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he beat them. Remember when Tyreek Hill returned to punt when Oklahoma had no business kicking it to him? And then the Wheaton Blackman that year they won as well.
Twice.
Oh, that's right. Tyreek Hill, the Oklahoma State guy.
Yeah, that guy.
That's right.
He was such a good guy there, too.
Oh,
Real peach. Beat it. Beat the limo guy next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.